from KQED.
From the Sacramento studios of KQED Public Radio, I'm Dave Iverson. Should public money be spent to subsidize sports arenas? It's an old debate. Who knows, maybe even the Romans debated this when the Colosseum was built. And it's playing out one more time right now in Sacramento. The city council has given its blessing to a plan that would build a new arena for the city's pro basketball team, the Kings, with public money, up to $258 million. Will that investment pay off in jobs, economic development, and civic pride? A deal fit for Kings? Or is it one only a Roman emperor could justify? That's next on 4, after this. From the Sacramento studios of KQED Public Radio, I'm Dave Iverson. The Sacramento Kings are off to a rocky start this season, last place in the NBA's Pacific Division. But right now, that's not what counts. What counts is that the Kings are actually here. Just 6 months ago, the team didn't seem long for Sacramento, but new ownership and a plan to build a new arena has the Kings no more likely to leave Sacramento than the legislature. But that doesn't mean everyone is behind the city council's plan to subsidize the construction of a new arena to the tune of $258 million in public funds. Two groups, in fact, are busy gathering signatures to put that question to a vote. And so in this hour of forum, we're going to dig into this question about subsidizing public, using public money to subsidize sports arena. Are the economic benefits of doing so good for the people or only for Kings? Joining us to take up this question, Micah Weinberg rejoins us in his capacity as an economic development analyst here in the city of Sacramento. Micah, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Tab Berg is here, too. He is a member of Voters for a Fair Arena Deal, which is one of the two citizen groups that have some concerns about the proposed arena subsidy. Tab Berg, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And joining us from the College of Holy Cross, Professor of Economics Victor Matheson, who specializes in sports economics. Professor Matheson, thanks for being with us as well.
Thanks for having me.
So this is always a fascinating debate, Micah Weinberg. I joked earlier that you feel sometimes like this is probably something even the Romans debated when they were building the Colosseum.
Right.
Seems like something that has always been with us. From your standpoint as an economic development analyst, why do you think it's a good thing that we put public money into something which is an arena for a private sports well-endowed, by the way, in ownership and player salaries sports team?
Right. I mean, so this investment is in a particular arena, but really it's an investment in the redevelopment of downtown. As a Sacramento resident, I look at downtown, I look at the potential for a new arena, the potential for the rail yards, the bridge district, and a lot of the other things that are going on. And so I see this less as a subsidy for the arena and more as a substantial public investment in an area that that needs it a great deal.
And why choose this particular course? I mean, why not? If your goal is economic development of the downtown or various other parts of Sacramento, aren't there other ways that you could take that $258 million and accomplish that goal without building a new palace for an NBA team?
Well, and it isn't just a palace for an NBA team. It is an important civic space at the heart of our metropolitan area. And it will not just host NBA games. In fact, that will be a small percentage of what it'll host. It'll host civic events, religious functions, so on and so forth. And the space that is being created is not just the arena. It's an entire comprehensive development with over several years, hotels, residential, commercial, in an area that desperately needs it.
Tepper, come back on the other side. What's wrong with what Micah Weinberg is advocating?
Well, to begin with, this isn't an economic development plan. This is a plan to finance an arena for an NBA team. The design is being driven by the NBA. The selection of the contractors is being driven by the NBA. This is an NBA arena. And I think our concern is whether or not – well, first, whether the public is being given an honest assessment of the cost and the risks. And second, the size of it, the size of the subsidy in terms of what is fair for the public in terms of you can use tax dollars, and these are tax dollars. You can use tax dollars for a lot of different things, and perhaps we can get a bigger bang for the buck in another through another mechanism.
We should describe briefly what the financing plan is. This uses parking revenue to underwrite the costs of how this would proceed. And the idea is that that at least puts people who are going to be benefiting from this by going to King's Games, it's using their money as opposed to doing, like, let's say, a countywide sales tax.
Correct, which they tried before. And oddly enough, most of the jargon that's being thrown around now is the same jargon that was being used during the QNR campaigns.
Those are previous measures that were put forward.
A previous measure that they tried to do. The reality is this is a $770 million expense. It's 200 and something odd million dollars of a bond that's going to cost $770 million to repay. There's also some other goodies that are thrown in there to help with the financing. They're giving away land without appraising it. They're giving away parking spaces, 3,100, which have a value, according to the city's own report, of about $50 to $60 million. And they're giving away $20 million worth of billboards.
So just so that I understand this, the parking part of this guarantees the bond repayment. How does that work, Michael Wendy?
It's a significant part of the bond repayment. They're creating a new entity that these assets would be transferred to. But I want to push back on this idea that it's not an economic development project. You don't just get to say something isn't an economic development project. Houses being built are economic development projects. The rail yard being developed is an economic development project. The fact that this economic development project is centered on an arena that will keep one of the large economic drivers of the region here does not keep it from being an economic development project.
Let's bring Victor Matheson into our conversation, because you study this, Professor Matheson, and about what the value of these new arenas has. What's your take on this? What do we know from the experience of other cities when people, when public entities put money into these private facilities? Is it a good deal?
So if you look at the overwhelming look at the independent economic evidence that has studied things like NFL stadiums, NBA arenas, Major League Baseball stadiums, almost to the person, you find that the economic impact of new stadiums, relocated NBA teams, is almost indistinguishable from zero. You see very little long-term economic development caused by sporting teams, and really it's a drop in the bucket in any other city that we look at as well.
So the contrary point, the pushback on that, would be sort of the eye test. If I go, for example, to the China Basin section of San Francisco, where the AT&T ballpark has been built, indeed with private money, not public money, but that whole area has been transformed. It's a much richer and more vibrant area than it once was. That's been the experience, at least visually, to in other cities, in Baltimore and perhaps other places. So tell me why my eyes are deceiving me.
So there is no doubt that putting a bunch of money into a specific location, you know, putting a bunch of money into downtown Sacramento in particular, does cause neighborhood effects. There is no doubt that putting a $475 million new arena in downtown Sacramento, along with the traffic that may generate, absolutely does have an effect in that local neighborhood. But those local neighborhood effects tend to dissipate fairly quickly. So, yeah, you can generate some bars and restaurants right in that area, but those benefits tend to dissipate fairly quickly. And when you start looking at something that is region-wide, you get very little impact. Again, because remember what's going to happen here in Sacramento is that essentially you're just shifting around economic activity from the current arena there in the north down a few miles south down into downtown.
Come back on that, Marcus Weinberg. Micah Weinberg.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, so I'm also a social scientist by training. When you look at this on an aggregate level, that doesn't necessarily tell you what it is that you would want. If you look at, for example, Jeffrey Profiter's study where he looked specifically at basketball arenas, he said that there is some evidence of, you know, regional increases in per capita income in some cases. But he acknowledges, and even the skeptics acknowledge, that there are good deals out there. Indianapolis, Oklahoma City, in other words, and other ones. And so my question as I looked at this is not, you know, what are all of these things looking like, but rather, does this deal in Sacramento look like the good deals or look like the bad deals? And one of the really important points to make here is that whether or not an arena project is successful actually has almost nothing to do with the nature of the specific deal that finances it. The arena projects that have been successful have been a part of a broader economic development project, as we have here in Sacramento. It has nothing to do with how much public financing versus private financing.
I want to we'll come back to all of the financing questions and all that that's part of, but I want to stay with this idea about whether or not it's a particular phenomenon and that we have to look at this in individual cases rather than sort of broadly what happens. Are you making the argument then, Micah, that for Sacramento, might not be a great plan for LA or Chicago or New York, but for Sacramento, which has a single pro sports franchise, that this is somehow unique and
right.
special and important to the character of Sacramento, just like the Oklahoma City Thunder right. are to Oklahoma City, as opposed to one team out of five
right.
in a major metropolitan area.
Yeah, and actually there's economic evidence to support exactly what you're saying, which is to say that the impact is larger in one-team cities than it is in multi-team cities. But I loved your point, right? Like, who am I going to believe, you or my lion eyes, right? I mean, you can see the revitalization that has happened. It may not accrue to the entire region. It may mean that things that would have otherwise been built in Roseville or in the outlying areas are built in downtown. That's actually precisely the point.
Tadberg, on this question, though, of why it's important to Sacramento, as someone who lives in the Bay Area and not here, I've always been struck by how passionate people are in Sacramento about the Kings. I mean, there's purple everywhere, and people care about this, and it's important somehow to the city itself. It's a hard thing to put a dollar value onto, but that's true, yeah?
Yeah, and that's been an unfortunate mischaracterization that the subsidy proponents have tried to do to foster, is that anybody who raises any question about the specifics of the financing or the specifics of the subsidy is somehow anti-Kings or anti-Sacramento. I mean, even we've made it very clear with Voters for a Fair Arena deal that we actually support an arena. We actually support a public financing. We do think the public ought to have a chance to vote on it. And we do think that there's a few significant issues, and these are issues I've raised since 2006. For instance, the revenue end. The revenue end is grotesquely balanced. We think if the city puts in half the money, they ought to get half the revenue. Taking a look at some of the specifics of the financing, you know, if the city went to a public vote, they could get the bonds for a much cheaper rate. So instead of $750 million, they could get it for significantly more. You know, and the problem is that the real deal, the core of this deal, hasn't really morphed, even though we've had a succession of different potential owners until the final deal was done with Vivek Ranadive. And there was never really any type of negotiation to say, hey, how much can you do? So we kind of, to put it into kind of layman's terms, I kind of look at this as like you're going to buy a home. The first thing you do is you don't write up a list of amenities and draw pictures of how cool you want your house to look. The first thing you do is you look at your financing, see what you can afford. That's what we're advocating, is that we should go through and determine how much can the city realistically afford, because this bond is going to be backed up by the general fund. This bond is going to be backed up by the transit occupancy tax, the hotel tax. So all of those are at risk if the parking revenue, which currently generates $9 million a year, to pay for a bond that's going to cost $25 million a year.
Before we go further into the finances, though, I just want to check back in with you, Victor Matheson, about whether this point about it, if it's different for single sport towns like Oklahoma City and Sacramento, Portland would be another city that just has one professional sports team. Is the evidence any different there? Do we know that they do better and that they profit more to that community in a single sports city versus a place like LA, Chicago, so forth and so on?
Yeah, so I actually think Micah makes a pretty good point here, and I'm generally a critic of publicly financed stadiums, but there certainly is something to be said that this is an amenity to the city, and the question is, you know, how much we're willing to pay for that amenity. And, you know, I'll give credit to both the mayor of Oklahoma City, who said, look, this arena that's attracting a team from Seattle, this is not going to make us money, but I think having a NBA team in Oklahoma City is a great deal, and the only way we are going to get a team in Oklahoma City is by subsidizing it. We're not New York City, we're not LA, and I think Sacramento's in exactly the same situation, that they're going to have a very difficult time attracting an NBA team without putting in some public money. And the treasurer there, Russ Fair, very specifically said, you know, this is an amenity for the city. We should not necessarily be looking at the dollars and cents. And as an economist, I actually have no problems if someone says, you know, we are doing this to make people happy. But as soon as folks start saying, oh, and it's going to make us rich as well, that's where I would step in and say, look, that the evidence doesn't suggest that. Yes, deals like this may make us happy, but there's not a lot of evidence that it makes us rich.
So on that point then, Victor Matheson, do you feel that this particular deal, as it's currently structured, is good enough in terms of that bar? If it's to make you happy and keep the Kings here, does it make sense to you?
Again, I'm not in a good position to judge that, and you know, here I think is where it goes over to Tab's side, is I would probably be in favor of letting the voters come and say, look, this is what it's going to cost you. It's going to cost $258 million, and we're going to have to be paying this off over the next 30 years. Is it worth you as a citizen of Sacramento to direct your revenues being generated in downtown and with your hotels perhaps and with your parking for sure? Do you want that dedicated to an arena that's going to keep the Kings in town, or would you or are the Kings not worth enough to you to let them go and use that money elsewhere?
Let's get another voice into our conversation here. Marcus Bertone joins us. He's a columnist for the Sacramento Bee and has written about this ongoing question. And Marcus, first, thanks for joining us and being part of the program.
Sure.
Let me begin by asking you to go a little bit further on this question of what this means to people here in Sacramento and what it could mean in terms of the downtown. From your standpoint, you've been generally supportive of it, at least in the columns I've read. Is it because of the way in which the Kings sort of underline what Sacramento is, or is it because of the potential for economic development?
Well, for me, anyway, I think that there's a specific set of circumstances that created a situation to where this was a reasonable position for the city to try to maintain an amenity. And, you know, I would say that as someone who's written about this for a long time now, that in the end, Mayor Kevin Johnson and the sort of the political supporters of the arena sold it in the way that mayors and politicians sell these things across the country, which is they sell them as major revenue generators, creators of jobs. And I think that the sort of the experts that you have on this show say to the opinion that most economists state that that's just not the case. And you know, I personally, as sort of an observer of it, never believed the hype, as it were. And in fact, at one point in time, I was where some of the opponents are now. I was quite negative about the idea that the city had to pay hundreds of millions of dollars to maintain the team. Why couldn't the team pay more? And I was really in that position. And I guess my opinion has evolved over time as the city has evolved over time and as we came very close to losing the team and as you begin to look at Sacramento as a small market that really doesn't have the wealth or the corporate sponsorships to be able to do, say, what San Francisco did. Oh, and by the way, a significant amount of public money did go into AT&T Park with respect to infrastructure, and the owners of the San Francisco Giants will say today that they would not be able to finance the stadium in that way now after the economic meltdown. And so the bottom line was that there was an amenity that meant a lot to the city, and that it was worthwhile to pursue a way to try to keep the team here, and when you combine that with a horribly depressed downtown, and that this arena is going to go into what is essentially a dying downtown mall that's an eyesore right in the core of the city, I think that there is, it lends weight to the argument that that this is more than just a subsidy, that it is an investment in the downtown, and that criteria that look at economic benefits for the entire region, while sounding compelling in the end, are irrelevant to this discussion because the investment that is being made is to try to boost the downtown.
Yeah.
And at the expense of other regions, and that's a policy decision that has been made here.
Tedberg, on this question then of saying, look, this is a part of who we are. This is part of the investment in who we are and who we can become. We're not L.A., Chicago, San Francisco. We're Sacramento, and the Kings are core to that. We need to keep them to be the kind of city we want to be, and bringing them downtown just has to be something that will change visually the way people experience and take in the downtown of Sacramento. If that's the standard, as opposed to it's going to generate 14,700 jobs or whatever, is that an argument that's persuasive to you?
Well, yeah. And again, we support building it. We support even using some public funds for it. I just think that the size of the deal and the structure of the deal And then completely, you know, if this is about the people of Sacramento, then let the people of Sacramento have a voice.
Are you fine with the vote, Michael Weinberg, that this is the kind of thing that, I mean, we like to vote in this state on lots of public policy questions. Is this one where it makes sense?
It gets us in a lot of trouble, my friend. I think there are certain circumstances in which it makes sense to use direct democracy. As a political scientist, direct democracy has a lot of problems. I believe that the people do have a voice through electing their representatives and having those representatives make that decision. So that's my preference. You know, certainly other people have other preferences. There are folks out there gathering signatures right now, and you know, no one in this room has control over whether or not that's going to happen. But the people do have a voice through their elected representatives. I'm not saying that people shouldn't engage. People should engage. This is not a done deal yet. It's going to be evolving over the course of the coming year, and I think this conversation is very healthy.
Victor Matheson, let's talk a little bit more specifically about the deal. We heard Tedberg raise questions about it, that you can't really just think about this as a $258 million investment, that it's really more than that when you think about infrastructure costs, when you think about lost revenue, when you think about the repayment of the bond. If people are trying to kind of put this on a spreadsheet and think about value and cost, and it, even if we assume that, yeah, you know, maybe it's not going to be the greatest thing in the world in terms of job development and all the rest, but it's going to make downtown look better. I like it. It makes me feel better about being in Sacramento. How do you decide then what you should pay for that and whether or not this particular deal makes sense? What questions should Sacramento residents be asking about this particular deal?
I think among the important issues is whether you have a secure stream of funding to pay for that. And I think the parking, obviously directing the parking funding like it's happening now, certainly bears some risk because we don't have any good idea how much parking revenue is going to be generated at this point, since we don't have a stadium in the area generating parking revenue right now. Obviously, another thing that certainly economists are looking for is you want to have user pays as much as possible. The user pays principle says the people who are benefiting from these new arena are the ones who should be paying for that. At least in that way, this stadium deal is actually set up pretty well in that, again, the people who are parking downtown are paying for that, many of whom will be using the new arena. Also, you know, if you put a ticket surcharge on things, again, people who are going to events at the arena paying for that. So in some ways, this is a fairly good deal. If you're going to spend money, at least spending public money that is being generated this way isn't too bad. In terms of how much money is being spent, this is a little more generous than the average deal we've seen over the last about 20 years for NBA arenas. It looks like more like 60 or 70% of the total funding is going to be coming from private sources, public sources, which is a little more than we've seen in other deals recently.
Let me hold you there. We're going to go away and take a short break. And when we resume, we'd like to include all of your calls and thoughts on this. Does this make sense for Sacramento and beyond Sacramento? Does it make sense for cities to invest in public in sports arenas to benefit professional sports teams? Is this where you'd like to see your money go? What does it say about identity? If you live here in Sacramento, we'd love to hear your comments on this question. 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Back with more in just a moment. This is Forum on KQED. I'm Dave. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson. Our topic as we broadcast today from our Sacramento studio here on Forum is putting public money into a new proposed arena for the Sacramento Kings professional basketball team. And this general question of where public money should go, whether or not these kinds of arenas actually benefit cities, both in economic ways, but also in some ways to the way in which people feel about the place where they live. Two comments coming in that I want to read, and Marcus Bertone would like you to respond to, that illustrate the division on this. Alina writes, regarding the $258 million subsidy for the Kings Arena, local economic development might be valid, but I have no interest in basketball. I will never go to the arena. What about arts programs, galleries, museums? What about their receiving this kind of funding? Parks, swimming pools? On the other side, Frank writes, opponents just don't understand. This is a civic venue that will be used for a majority of the time for non-NBA events. It should be seen as a huge redevelopment project, a public-private partnership that will benefit all. Marcus Bertone, give us some sense of the division within the city about this and how much this is being seen as crucial or not to the way in which Sacramento develops in the future.
Well, I think the division is characterized in the way the first writer characterized it. That I think even people who really don't care about it will say, "Well, why are these rich guys getting all this money? Why can't they pay it themselves?" And it's certainly an opinion that I held at one time. And you know, I think that the way that it's playing out in Sacramento is that. That even people who are supportive of the idea of downtown development would have some misgivings about a subsidy going that will essentially help benefit people who are very rich. Who wouldn't feel unease about that? Of course, it's a very legitimate point to have. But I think that. When people really look at the issue and they look at the specific region in downtown that is in play, you know, the question that I always have is, okay, so what other compelling development project do we have slated for the downtown plaza? We don't. We just don't. And even suggestions that maybe there could be some other bang for the buck, like what? Exactly, and I think that's the issue. I think that it becomes sort of this argument where we chase our tails down a rabbit hole and discuss things that really have no relevance to reality. And that, you know, we had an ability to maintain an amenity in Sacramento that was a good thing to have an NBA team. We have a dying mall, and we have a confluence of events that could maintain the team and lift this decrepit part of downtown that's an embarrassment to any of us who live here. And that became the issue. And then does it feel great that some of these owners are going to get this money? No, but sometimes you have to make an investment, and it's what happens.
Let me bring in another participant into our conversation and ask him to respond. John Hyde joins us. He is the spokesperson for another organization that is opposing the current deal that's before the city to use $258 million in public funding to help build the arena. It's called Sacramento Taxpayers Opposed to Pork. John Hyde, welcome. Thanks for joining our conversation as well. Are you with us, John? Oh, well, we may not have John at the moment, so that means I'm handing it back to you, Tab Berg. The point I think that Marcus Bertone makes is really compelling, which is compared to what? I mean, it may be that it makes just a little wiggly and uncomfortable that this money is going to a private sports entity with a wealthy owner, but it's not like there's another deal on the table that could do a better job of revitalizing downtown.
No, but I mean, and I agree with Marcos in terms of, you know, we do want to make sure that we're doing something to revitalize downtown, but I don't think this has to be an either-or thing. And I don't think either the goal is to spend as much money as possible. And that's, I think, the concern that a lot of us have. You know, there are things that we are not doing in order to do this. We are not doing the $50 million worth of upgrades that actually were required by for the community senator theater, which also is an amenity to downtown that many people utilize. So we're not doing that in order to move forward on this. So, but I think, again, the greater concern is how much do you spend for that amenity? The, you know, I'm a fan. You know, I go to games.
Where's your purple?
on my bike. But I think that and this has, I think, been the problem. And I think perhaps either through naivete or deliberate misinformation, they try. Everyone tries to propose this as, well, either you hate economic development or you support this deal. And there can be some ground in the middle. Some people that say, you know what, we need to do a deal. But, you know, we ought to do a deal that makes sense.
Tell me the deal that makes sense to you.
Well, we've actually published the 10 principles of a fair arena deal. One certainly is that voters should approve.
Don't give me all 10. Just
well, I'll hit the highlights. The other is that we want to make sure that the public money is being used only for the construction and not for any other purposes. The other is that revenue ought to be shared equitably. If the city's putting in half the money, the city should get half the revenue. That's equitable. The other is that we ought to do a deal that only spends as much money as we have to spend. And that's the initial part that I think the city has not done, hasn't gone through and done an adequate assessment. And you can tell by looking at the terms of this bond deal, which the city has known since April, that it is considered – it's not conservative by any definition because it's being looked at a 5.5%, 5.75% interest rate, which puts it – in the category of very risky. In fact, the bond council or the bond assessment that was done, the preliminary one from Goldman Sachs, indicated that, you know what, you're not going to be able to get this done with the parking revenue. So you're going to have to add the hotel tax and you're going to have to underwrite it with the general fund. That puts all services at the city at risk.
Victor Matheson, what would be your grid for assessing when this makes sense? Is it the amount? Is it, you know, is it instead of 258, it's 158? Is it where the revenue comes from? Is it this question that Tam Berg is mentioning that the city ought to get a fair share of the revenue for whatever dollar it puts in, it gets an equal amount back? When, if ever, in your judgment, did these deals make sense?
Well, certainly I have no problems with the city putting up significant amounts of money for general infrastructure in the region. That absolutely makes sense. That's one of the things government does for us, is that when private businesses come in, the public comes in and makes sure people can get there either through mass transit or through road networks. So certainly that sort of spending is absolutely legitimate under any circumstances. To what Marcus was saying, you know, that area of Sacramento may be an embarrassment, but there is some real question about, okay, so do you want to spend $258 million just because you're embarrassed about a section of your downtown?
Yeah, I mean,
Michael Weinberg.
Yeah, I mean, it's not because of embarrassment. Look, there's this false dichotomy being brought up. You know, this is either going to make us happy or it's going to make us rich. Nobody is suggesting that the arena in and of itself is going to make Sacramento rich. The people that are in favor of this deal are in favor of it because it is a complementary part of a broader economic development revitalization plan, which includes the rail yards and includes the bridge district. It includes opening back up the waterfront and includes the changes that are going on in West Sacramento. And when you look at the academic studies, you know, these arenas themselves are not a sole catalyst. You can't do an arena and nothing else. But if you do an arena or other public amenities as a part of a broader redevelopment deal, you really can have a big impact on Sacramento. I moved here 5 years ago. I'm very excited about what I see as the prospect for Sacramento over the course of the next 10 or 15 years, particularly in the river downtown area. And I think this is one piece of it.
So on that point, Marcus Bertone, there are some things about this that do seem to have the you know, citizens' best interests in mind. Tell me if I'm wrong about this, but as I understand it, the city won't be responsible for cost overruns, won't be responsible for maintenance on the building, right? So is that part of what persuades you that there are legitimate guarantees for the city of Sacramento?
Yes, I think that there, you know, it became pretty clear in the initial negotiation that the city could only go so far in this case, and that any cost overruns would have to be borne by the owners of the team. And by the way, I should note along those lines that the actual investment by the owners is still in flux, and that I would not be surprised at all if the owners actually end up investing a lot more in this arena deal when it's all said and done, that there is a growing groundswell of excitement over the possibility of a design that would be that would have sort of an indoor-outdoor feel to it, and that all sounds, you know, really exciting, but also very expensive, and that the sort of back channel reporting that I've done, that others have done, is that there's a growing feeling that the owners themselves will end up spending a lot more money from their portion of the deal. I mean, would that make it more appealing to folks? I don't know, but I you know, right now we're working on data based on a non-binding term sheet, and that the documents themselves won't be binding until early next year, and so you know, the real numbers are still evolving, and we could end up finding that the owners end up spending a lot more on this than initially.
Let's hear from our listeners on this question. We're joined first by Mike. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, I'm a San Francisco resident, but grew up basically a Sacramento native and lived for a number of years in the Midtown area. And, I can attest to the fact that that whole area, the Lower K Street Mall and Downtown Plaza, is just what we used to call it, the Scooby-Doo Mall. I mean, it's dismal. And but over the last 20 years or so, in Midtown in particular, there's just been a huge amount of residential and commercial infill and bars and restaurants. There's a monthly art walk that's hugely attended, and there's been a history of a huge amount of residential infill into this area. And I think that with the development of the K Street Mall area in general, which is just this horribly blighted pocket in an otherwise nice area, I think there's already a track record of potential success in drawing in more businesses and drawing in more residential infill as well, and of course all of the sales and property tax revenue that can flow from that.
All right, Mike, thank you. Thanks for outlining why you are supportive of this proposal. Let's hear next from Susan in Sacramento. Susan, go ahead.
Okay, I've been told to keep it short. I live in the city, and there's been a number of misconceptions. One is that the cost is being borne by the city and county. That is not true, and that is why STOP has wanted to put it as a ballot measure, because this is only being borne by the city of Sacramento. We are, and we don't have that property tax money that the county has. So we are bonding those revenue generating structures that we're bonding. That's it for us. And the other thing is that the other misconception was that the whole ARCO Arena was developed because of the arena going out there in North Natomas. That's not true. That was public money that went into all of those libraries and the wonderful stuff that they have out there. The city of Sacramento is already paying for the Kings the money they owe us now, $62 million. They've owed us for years. And we're paying for that because they have closed our little community centers. Our small ones, they've all been closed. Our swimming pools, they were closed. We finally got the Y to adopt them. But we are being taxed already by the Kings and the debt that they owe us. And I'm sorry for the Kings, but it's not that I'm opposed to it. It's that they've ramrodded this through without any public vote.
Okay, Susan, I'm going to hold you there because, of course, the vote is what people on your side of this question are urging. But I just want to get some clarity. I'm not familiar with this part of the story. Can someone clarify when Susan is referring to money that the Kings owe, what is that?
Well, there was a loan from the city to the Maloofs when they owned the Kings before, which was guaranteed by ARCO Arena. Now, there's some question now as to is there any guarantee remaining now for that, since ARCO Arena is going to be, you know, demolished or used for some other purpose. So there's still that outstanding loan. There's also the concern, and I'm not sure if this is what she was alluding to, the city is bonding against parking structures that it still owes $50 million on, and by IRS rules, they're going to have to pay that off before they are able to bond against those.
Michael Weinberg, Susan also was making the point that it's just going to be city residents who will be paying for this, won't be countywide, but wouldn't anyone who goes to a Kings game, if I drive to the Kings game from the Bay Area, I would, in essence, be helping to support this by getting a parking space,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the academic gentleman you had on explained that there are significant user fees. We've also discussed the fact that the economic development benefit accrues primarily to the city itself rather than to the broader region. So it makes sense to have the folks like myself, a Sacramento City resident, contribute to this investment in order to provide that. But I want to really quickly hit another thing that the caller mentioned, which is the pools that are being closed, libraries, so on and so forth. You can end up in a real sort of adverse selection death spiral, to throw in a little healthcare stuff from earlier on. But, you know, as cities, if their urban cores get hollowed out, they still need to provide these services, but they don't have the tax revenue basis to do so. That's why you make these kinds of capital investments, to make sure that you have a thriving economy. I also would agree, we need to, the arena is just one piece of this. We need to build housing downtown. Downtown, with the exception of the 800J building, is entirely single room occupancy units. We need to have a broader tax base that will help support all these services like pools and so on and so forth.
So on that question, Victor Matheson, Mike is making the argument that it's not a zero-sum game, that you need to do all of these things, that it's not a choice between an arena and pools and libraries. How do you evaluate that in terms of how public investment goes?
Yeah, so I think the real question is, how much additional property tax value are you going to get out of putting a new arena here? So certainly that is going to increase property values. We do have evidence of this, there's no doubt about it, of these local neighborhood effects. And you will have an increase in tax base around there. And the question is whether those increases in tax base are going to be sufficient to cover the additional expenditures that you've put upon your city. And of course, remember, your arena up north now is going to be worth substantially less. So, you know, those property values are likely to fall as that area up north doesn't get used nearly as much. I would also point out that one thing that Sacramento has done to protect itself quite a bit is at least they are committing the Kings to a 35-year lease agreement, which is much longer than most others. The last thing you want is all of us to be back on your program again in 10 years when the Kings are looking to move again. What we see in Atlanta right now is the Braves moving
right
out of a stadium that's less than 20
right
years old. So I will give credit to Sacramento if we spend the money, let's make sure the amenity that we're spending it on is going to be around for at least a generation.
John Hyde is back on the line with us now. He's, again, the spokesperson for Sacramento Taxpayers Opposed to Pork, which is one of two organizations that wants to get this question before the public on a public vote. John Hyde, thanks for getting on the line with us. Respond to that last point, that at least this is a deal where the Kings are committed. They're not going to be sort of trying to up the ante a few years from now. Is that something that assuages your concerns at all?
You know, I does, but in reality, sports teams leave their commitments often. There's no guarantees, and the reality about arenas and stadiums is that they have a lifespan of about 20 years, and I think economists can tell you that as well. But the bonds on this particular arena is a 35-year bond, which including interest amounts to, as Tab referred to earlier, $778 million over an entire generation. So for an arena that is likely to have a lifespan of 20 years, the question before the people of Sacramento is, do we want to invest for 35 years?
Put like that, Michael Weinberg, doesn't sound like a very good deal.
Recently, there have been shorter stadium deals. There have also been, you know, stadiums that have been around for, you know, 100 years, Fenway Park. I mean, I don't know that we know with the economic context going forward exactly how long this will be around as a public amenity. And that should be a part of the healthy conversation that we're having about this deal. What is the appropriate term length? What are the appropriate terms? And this is still a very live conversation. We're not talking about a done deal here. We're talking about a situation where there will be more votes, at least at the city council, potentially also of the citizens. And these are the sorts of things we should look at closely.
And we should clarify, too, that this is also the county is being asked to contribute $1.2 million. And they have not approved that money. That is money that comes out of actually, which is different from the previous deal, which the county did approve, is coming out of current revenue. And this is coming shortly after a $2.2 million cut to the Sheriff's Department and cuts to the District Attorney's Office that have eliminated critical services to county residents.
But on that point, I mean, it's not like you can sort of use parking revenue to pay for the Sheriff's Department.
The money they're
it?
Asking for the county is direct property tax revenue that's currently generated from the current facility. Well, and they're being asked to give up any additional increases in property tax revenue for the new arena. That's the money that they're asking for the county, which is going to go to backfill the city's general fund because the general fund can't quite generate enough money to make their commitment of no general fund impact from the bond.
Let's hear from Penny next in Sacramento. Penny, go ahead, please. You're on the air.
Yes, I understand the idea of not wanting to have public money go subsidize projects such as this, but people don't say anything. They didn't say anything when the city subsidized Westfield to come in and do the downtown plaza and run it to the ground. They don't say anything about when cities subsidize the Walmarts and that. That's really where the big pork is. This is something that's going to be for the people of Sacramento. The designs that I have seen and read about in the Sacramento Bee looks like it's going to be opening. So some people can view it from the outside. I also understand that the major owner of the Kings is paying off the bill that the Maloofs had left on the stadium up in Arco.
Let me just jump in because that would be fascinating to know. Marcus Bertone, do you know anything about that, about the new owner sort of paying off past bills?
Yeah, and to be completely clear, this is a loan that the city of Sacramento made to the Kings back in 1997. So it's two ownership groups ago, and it was basically a loan that the team has paid on time. And there's a lot of misperceptions about it. Some people. Still to this day believe that when the loan is paid off, it'll go to the general fund. It won't. It gets paid back to the bondholders themselves. So the current owners are put a ticket surcharge that will expedite paying back the loan to the city of Sacramento. So it's been this political, not to mix sports metaphors, but it's been sort of a political football that's been kicked around town that at the end of the day isn't really going to impact the finances of the city of Sacramento, and that the current owners will pay it back in fairly short order.
Penny, thanks for the call. And while we're mixing our sports and metaphors, let's go next to Janet, who has another ball that she wants to toss into our conversation. Janet, go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I've lived in Sacramento for about 40 years, and when Marcos Breton said, what's the alternative? There's never been an alternative in the downtown plaza. When the arena issue first focused on building an arena at the rail yards, because the downtown plaza was in fact rejected as a site, the mayor mentioned putting a professional soccer arena there because there is interest in professional soccer in Sacramento. And today's headline in the Bee, in fact, says that a professional soccer arena will be built with private funds at Cal Expo. And the gentleman who said that there's only one professional team in Portland just made a bunch of people in Portland mad because they do have a soccer team. They play in an arena, a stadium that was built downtown. That is a fabulous.
I plead guilty. That was me. That means that it shows that I'm basketball centric and I don't know my soccer. Thank you for getting me straight about that. Thanks,
that stadium,
Janet. Thanks.
It's incredibly popular. It's totally revitalized the area. Sacramento, there's a love of soccer in Sacramento, and that is an alternative that just went out the window for some reason.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Thank you. Thanks, Janet. Let me. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Just real quick, I'm a huge soccer fan. What's on the front page of the Beat today is that there'll be a temporary stadium that will be built on our fairgrounds. The cost will be around $3 million, which is quite a bit less than what the basketball arena would cost. Eventually, the issue is going to come back. If we're going to bring a Major League Soccer franchise to Sacramento, the cost will probably be in excess of $100 million. And then at that point, I think we'll be back at the discussion of having some sort of a public subsidy to help that.
Marcus Bertone at the Sacramento Bee. Let me just go through a couple of comments, then I want each of you to sort of close with your best arguments on this question. Karen writes, Sacramento has to make its choices, but I recommend you look at the history of the Oakland Coliseum. We taxpayers are still paying down the bonds that was built 20 years ago, and it's a dump. Well, that's fair enough. Another listener writes, why do we complain so much about public welfare programs like food stamps, which are a redistribution of income, but these new big sports arenas are somehow for the common good? Both programs are paid with taxpayer dollars. And Bob writes, Sacramento leaders have for decades fallen all over themselves and making bad deals with billionaire sports owners in their adolescent infatuation with fame. I'm glad I moved to a nearby town that doesn't force the taxpayers to be on the hook for hundreds of millions of dollars to subsidize billionaires. So, a couple of minutes left. Let's go around once and sort of either make your best argument pro or con or what you think people ought to most be thinking about. John Hyde, start us out. Your best argument.
Well, I think what STOP stands for is the opportunity for people to vote on the issue. This is a great public debate. This is exactly the kind of debate that needs to happen in Sacramento. And a vote in June will ensure that. Micah referenced earlier the size of this project. It's been called the largest and most important project in Sacramento City's history. And we think that people ought to have a right to vote on that.
Marcus Bertone.
I think that the public has been represented in this issue. Representative government did work. I think that this is a specific development proposal for a specific part of Sacramento, and I think that the compelling arguments of trying to lift the downtown and while maintaining a civic amenity that are the Sacramento Kings is a good reason, and I think it's going to go forward.
Tab Berg.
I think we kind of fall right in kind of between. I think that's something that needs to happen, but I think that the city has done a terrible job of actually engaging in a meaningful debate on this. We've seen a lot of rhetoric and we've seen a lot of overblown claims, but we haven't seen a lot of genuine debate about the real mechanics of this deal. And again, I think that the critical component has to be, is this something we can afford? And let's only build what we can afford and then give the people a chance to vote. Let's get the numbers out in front of them and let them have an opportunity.
Briefly, Michael Weinberg.
Yeah, let me sketch what I think is the vision here. Let's get the best deal that we can. Certainly, I'd like it to go through representative channels, but we all want to see a deal that is good for the city. But it's much bigger than the arena. It's obviously bigger than basketball. And I think that this is a part of a compelling, coordinated, multi-pronged redevelopment effort for the downtown that will make Sacramento a town that I'd really love to live in.
And Victor Matheson, finally, if this goes to a vote, what would you say Sacramento residents ought to ask themselves before they vote one way or the other?
Just that a sports arena is a fairly expensive way to get long-run economic development that will benefit Sacramento as a whole. But if you love your Kings, vote for it.
All right. Purple wins out in the end, I guess. Thank you all very much. Fascinating conversation, a debate that goes on, of course, all over our country. Glad to have had that debate here in Sacramento today. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell and Irene Noguchi. Dan Zoll is our senior editor. Danny Bringer, our engineer. Amanda Supai, our engagement producer. Raul Ramirez, our executive producer. I'm Dave Iverson, and this is Forum on KQED.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.